What's up, everybody? Welcome to a second attempt at another episode of the Big One Podcast. You can always find us on Twitter at @podcastbigone. Emails podcastbigone@gmail.com. This is a weekly motorsports talking mostly NASCAR, IndyCar, and Formula One, and occasionally some local tracks. This is Baby G with your lead-in, and who do we got, and who is our sponsor this week?
Yeah, B-Boy's here with the sponsor. You sure you want a third attempt at that intro?
I think number two's good. We're
number two's good.
Past a minute in, and we haven't crashed like we did the first time 30 seconds in, so we're rolling.
All right, we're not crashing, not like the big one. All right, our sponsor this week is Huggies. Huggies gets you through every bit of life's mess, from awesome diapers to great wipes, and I'm sure they make other things too, but those are the only two that I really use. I will say, though, Kirkland brand, you know, Costco brand diapers, when I first had my daughter, were Huggies. They were made by Huggies, and then the two had like a separation, so you can still buy Huggies at Costco, but the Costco brand diapers are now poo-poo. They're bad. So you still gotta get the name brand diapers. But for the wipes, the Kirkland wipes are better than the Huggies wipes. These are key parenting facts. If you have parenting facts that you want to share with us, hit us up at podcastbigone on Twitter or email us at podcastbigone@gmail.com. This is your weekly family fathering podcast. All right, let's jump into some storylines. First off, Bowman's out at least three more races. Allgaier will be filling in at all three, Darlington, Martinsville, and Bristol. What's that mean, Baby G?
I think this means for Allgaier, it's an opportunity to show what he has at some very difficult and very important tracks on the schedule. And unfortunately for Bowman, I hope this injury doesn't lead to him losing his ride. That would be really unfortunate. But the Vertigo is no joke, apparently, and he is unfortunately down for three, and I think he's already missed three, right? So that'll be six total, or is it seven? I think he did the first two.
No, I think he's only missed, he was out of the car at COTA, so he's only missed two total races.
Gotcha. Okay, so he's gonna be five down.
But this essentially takes him out of the playoffs. I mean, he'd have to have a hell of a summer to get back in the playoffs. And unfortunately, I do think that this is probably the end of his time at Hendrick. I said this in an earlier podcast, I'll say it again. I think he ends up with a cup ride. We could start getting into some silly season stuff. We're going to talk about RFK here in a second. I think there could be a spot there. I mean, if you go down the Chevy, Spire, I think McDowell will probably get moved on from. Maybe even Suarez. I don't know what his contract looks like, but I know McDowell's up this year. If that ends up being Kyle Busch, then there's a spot at RCR. There's going to be openings. And I think Bowman will end up somewhere. So he's not going to be out. He's still a very good driver. So we'll talk about him in a second. Daniel Dye has been suspended. There's someone that's out, and thankfully so. Silver Spoon Kid. I remember reading a long time ago, and I think it came up again this week, but I didn't read into it. But he, like, gets money for suicide prevention. I forget what the NASCAR's program is called for that, but him and his team get money from that because he's been an advocate for it. I think that's dumb. And of a person that's supposed to be, you know, an advocate for one of NASCAR's programs like that, he should have a much higher moral and higher character than he displayed. Good riddance. See ya. Any other notes?
No comments. You act a fool, you get treated like a fool.
Damn straight. And I think they found multiple incidences of this, by the way, as the day has gone on. So next up, Suarez and Chastain beef after the race. What happened there, Baby G? Break it down.
It seems like after the race, there was a little bit of an incident where Chastain door slammed Suarez, and that's never a good idea on the cool down lap because guys are taking their straps off, they're loosening up. It's just not a good time to be doing something like that. And then they ended up, like I said, after the door slam, they had finished in a pretty similar position. So they roll onto pit lane and right next to each other, they get out, they're up in each other's faces, and it looks like Suarez is about to throw down. And if it's me personally, I don't want any piece of Suarez if I'm Ross Chastain. And these guys are former Trackhouse teammates. They know each other well. And I guess it was the PR person for Ross Chastain steps in and says, hey, we're not doing this. And that was kind of the end of it. But then after Suarez came, I don't know if it was a day after, but a day or two after, and he put a video blog out there saying, you know, he's kind of not a fan of Suarez, or not a fan of Chastain, and Chastain has always been a bit two-faced. So We got some beef on the track, and I like this. We need rivalries in NASCAR. My biggest thing on this one is, why didn't Ross speak to the media? He refused to talk about it. That's chicken shit stuff. If you're going to door slam someone, you better speak about it or be prepared to deal with it next week on track.
Yeah, they showed the in cars a little bit later that day after the race, and I actually didn't really see anything that looked too bad. But I want to say it was Harvick earlier in the race, did say, you know what, there's the guys that are up front that are racing very politely with each other because they have good control of their cars, and then there's everyone else. And this is very true, especially at a track like Vegas, these mile and a halves, where the restarts can get you bunched up, and those guys can never escape each other. Everyone's mid, and you could be running 18th, or you could be running 28th. And anywhere in between there, all of you have the same fucking car. And so you have to race each other so hard to get past each other. And it's just not fun. I don't think it's fun for anyone that's running back there. Add in the fact that Suarez does have some beef with, his former employer there at Trackhouse. And, you know, probably a little bit with Chastain if there's some two-facedness that he was detecting before he left. Chastain's the one that got to keep his ride, right? And Suarez was the one that got moved out for the new folks that came in. And, someone's going to move out of the way for Zilish, even if he's not having a great season to start. He was probably one of the bigger phenoms to come into the sport, at least since Ty Gibbs, if not further, longer than that. But, you know, Suarez is still mad about it. Suarez has doored SVG at Bowman Gray. He spun Zilish at Coda, and now he's going toe-to-toe with Chastain. He clearly sees the Spire guys. I'm sorry, he's in Spire. He sees the Trackhouse guys, and he wants to take it to them. And you know what? I get it. We see it in every other sport. You get traded from your team, and you have it out for them. You want to go hard at them. I get it completely. And yeah, I agree with your note here. NASCAR needs more of this. Completely agree. What else is going on?
All the RFK contracts are up at the end of the year. RWR Charter is just a one-year deal. So yeah. RFK, they've got three cars. They've got Kezo, they got Priest, and who's the third at RFK? Chris Buescher. So pretty solid lineup in my opinion. I don't know that Kezo is going to give up his ride. He's a owner in the team.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ryan Priest a lot. I like Chris Buescher. He's kind of my dad's guy. But still, those are kind of your mid-level NASCAR drivers. And if there is a big shuffling of the deck, do they go after a guy like Alex Bowman?
Yeah, I really think they might. Especially since Bowman is such a likable guy and he can bring sponsors, that's kind of been their MO. Priest does actually bring some sponsors when they opened up this third ride. Just to clarify on the RWR charter, by meaning it's a one-year deal, it's a lease. They are leasing a charter this year, and that's kind of how it's working. And so next year, that RWR charter could be sold to another team. There's a couple teams that have said that they're trying to get to a next to a new deal. There's also the opportunity that, like, you know, someone like Spire could align with Dodge, and so therefore they may get new charters that way. So we'll see what ends up with the charters. That's a whole different story. But the RFK contracts all being up at the same time is really interesting. I actually do think that Brad Keselowski would take himself out of the car for the right driver and for a driver that has good sponsors behind him. I think RFK as a whole has a lot of good team sponsors, the Build Submarines and a couple of the others. I know they got the Kroger affiliation coming in this year. Yep. And that came with Priest, right? So, like, there's some really good deals that they've got going on there. They need good folks. It's funny that if, like, Bowman were to end up in that seat, Bowman, Buescher, and Priest are almost the same type of driver, same archetype. They're hard-nosed. They're pretty quiet guys. But they're really good for sponsors. And they generally keep a pretty clean nose, too. Not just, like in the sport, but, like, with their cars. Like, they keep the cars in one piece. So, I think if Keselowski's going to step away, he might step away for that kind of a deal to bring in Bowman. But anyway, early season, silly season stuff. I just thought this was super interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of a whole team's contracts being up at the same time, especially three of them. Cool. What else is next? I think there was some Mexico series action you wanted to cover.
Have you seen this video of this finish to this NASCAR Mexico race? So I just wanted to call this out because incredible. Like, you've got three wide for basically two single laps, and then there's just this insane wreck. And the thing that is crazy about this is there's no safer barriers here. These things are straight up concrete. And to top it off, the announcer was just impeccable. If Fox could get their announcers to be this excited, like, every race would be a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10, because this guy was just going bananas. And I get it. It was an absolutely incredible finish, but I loved the call of this when I saw this thing. I've never seen a NASCAR Mexico truck race before, and I'm like, are they all like this? I doubt it, but it was absolutely wild.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and I'll retweet this with the when I go to link the podcast for this week so people can see it. But yeah, this was really, really fun. I'm glad you linked it. I think the funniest thing about it is, and this is spoilers, so sorry, but the guy that's running sixth with two laps to go ends up winning it. So yeah, stay tuned and figure out how that happens, because it's awesome. Cool. Well, speaking about awesome, we need to talk about NASCAR fans yet again, because we used to do Whiner of the Week, and I think Kyle Busch won the most Whiners of the Week, and Martin Truex was way up there too. But NASCAR fans, y'all are whiners perpetually, 24/7, forever. What else should you guys say about this?
This is a bit of a lead in to the Cup Series recap, so maybe we can do Cup first and do O'Reilly second this week.
That sounds good.
I often, on my drive to work or while I'm taking a shower, I'll just throw like Sirius XM on my Alexa. And after the race this week, all I'm hearing on the callers is, this race was so short. There was only one natural caution. I don't like how they're, where are the cautions? And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? This race was a Las Vegas race, which we'll get into, which is a snooze fest. Yeah, so to get this thing over as fast as possible was like a major W in my book, because then I could move on with my Sunday. I could watch the end of the college basketball selection Sunday, get outside after, had my neighbor over to watch the Oscars after. It was like a glorious NASCAR Sunday, like a short race, a pretty solid race at a track that I don't usually like watching. And people are just complaining about it. Y'all need to wake up. Get with the program and do something besides watch 4.5 hours of NASCAR like we all normally do on Sunday. And if you do watch that much of a thing, you should probably like it and not complain about it.
You know, I like variety, and I like variety in the tracks that we choose and the way that those tracks race and the strategy that gets used and the whole straight staging. I just like variety. And this was great. This is kind of like, yes, older NASCAR used to have more natural cautions because of engines expiring and just bad parts in general. That doesn't happen as much anymore. So we can have these like really, really, really long green flag runs. We used to have races like this too. This is the exact example of you must run perfect. If you make mistakes, it's going to be hard for you to come back and finish well. And it's funny that I say that because I know Denny comes back in this race. So mistakes could happen if you had a good enough car. But for most folks, one mistake was about all you got. And it would bury you and put you back. And it was hard for you to get too far forward again. And the difference in the like top eight cars here was dramatic versus everyone else. So if you weren't one of those top eight guys, you had to have a pretty perfect race to score good points. And we need races like this every once in a while. I can agree that it's not the most exciting because the restarts are really good at Vegas, and we only had a couple of them. But you know what? We called it before the weekend started, and this is why that we are the best motorsports podcast. It was not going to be your favorite weekend of racing. Well, at least in the Cup Series, I should say. But guess what? We're going to Darlington, and we got Martinsville, and we got Bristol, all on the new package. It's the next couple weeks is going to be phenomenal. Just hold on. Let's break down the Cup race. What happened?
Stage one winner for the Cup race at Las Vegas, Christopher Bell. Stage two winner, William Byron. And as you teased a little bit earlier, your stage three winner was Denny Hamlin. So I tuned into this thing just a little bit before they fired the engines, and your national anthem this week was Foreigner, so they must have pulled them out of some residency at some Fremont Street casino or something like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pretty good intro there, and then like I mentioned, double bill with College Hoops on Selection Sunday, which I always like, because these Cup races, when we do get these green flag runs like you mentioned, these stage breaks are just long because they need to get those commercials in. So getting going on this thing so early in the race, SVG is nearly around, and he has a massive save. Briscoe almost gets taken out by that, so my heart immediately skips a beat. Like, this guy is, he's in it right now. He's grinding. And out of this thing, that was a great save by SVG, but unfortunately something happened on the underneath of his car, and he ended up just kind of running way, way in the back, because he did save it, but just some serious damage to his car going around like that far.
I think they said it was the diffuser, which, yeah.
Oh, yeah, if it's the diffuser, you know, he's done. That's how you get any bit of power in the engine these days on the new car.
It's the downforce, yeah. Like, a lot of people, and I thought they actually described this pretty well for this race, but, like, the diffuser, because it's all sealed underneath, you basically create a vacuum underneath. And as long as the diffuser is perfectly straight, if you think about it like vents in your car, as long as it's straight, the air blows out perfectly great, right? No resistance. If those vents are bent a little bit, or God forbid, like completely turned, it's drag. It creates drag underneath the car. It doesn't move the air underneath the car quite as quickly. Therefore, you don't get the vacuum that sucks the car down to the track. And therefore, you have air underneath it, which keeps the car a little bit bouncy. It doesn't keep the downforce on top of the car like you need it. And yeah, the whole thing just becomes a big mess. Really hard to handle. So yeah, it did ruin SVG's race. Next up, we had Gibbs and Hamlin were speeding coming into pits after stage one. You said so many unforced errors by JGR this season. I'll say just in this race, we saw a lot of speeding. It is a difficult pit lane. We saw a number of guys trying to come to pit lane and slowing up guys behind them because you have to brake so much on the track just to safely get off the track to get to pit lane. And so you are braking so late coming out of turn four. And if you're running the bottom line in Vegas, you're hugging the bottom all the way on the line, all the way until you're completely off of turn four and accelerating down the straightaway. You don't really come up back up the track because there's kind of banking there. So you stay down. Well, if there's a guy in front of you, he could be 500 yards in front of you. But if he's pitting, you are not going to be able to run that bottom line like you want to coming up out of the corner. And you're going to have to lift or you're going to have to brake. And you're going to ruin that next straightaway, probably the whole next lap. Happened a bunch of times. These are the kind of errors that we're talking about, are the kind of things that could set you back in this race where you didn't have a lot of chances to come back. Briscoe, eventually, he ends up... Why did he end up a lap down again?
I think speeding as well or something like that. Green, maybe? I think all three JGR cars sped, so I believe Briscoe also got a speeding penalty.
That sounds right. I think he might have done it under green, which might have been the problem. Yeah, he ended up a lap down, and then it was so hard for him to get that lap back because there's no cautions. And it's not like you're going to race it back. And even if you did race it back, now you have to stay in front of the leader until a caution comes out, which isn't going to come out. Like, it's impossible. He does end up getting the lap back, though, I think, stage two to stage three. And then he does make it back into the top 10, which let's keep breaking it down, though.
Like you said earlier, that tricky pit lane, Connor Zilich, his rookie struggles continue. He ended up with a spin. One of the things that I'm loving this season is Kyle Busch being a backmarker and kind of just getting picked on by the field. So really,
yeah,
there was a part in this race where Byron and Larson were going at it to the end of stage two, and Byron kind of ends up using Kyle Busch as a backmarker, as a pick, and takes Larson off for that win.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see. I mean, there was a number of times where the lap traffic did play a role in the leaders' battle because... When you're the guy out front, obviously, and you can pick your lane, you got no aero disadvantage until you start to reach other guys. Now, when there's one guy in front of you that you're going to lap, it's pretty easy. You can just kind of go to where he isn't. There's two or three guys out in front of you. Now you have the same disadvantage as the guy behind you. And maybe even more so because you're closer to those cars. And so it just kind of becomes a game, to your point. There's picks and other types of things you can kind of do to try and keep yourself out in front, or maybe make the move early. Say, I'm going to go to the high line because this guy's going to get blocked on the low line. Take your guess. It's kind of like a goalie jumping at a penalty shot in soccer. Take your best guess going into the corner, and if you get a guess right, you're going to have more speed coming out or more speed in the corner. That's how you make your passes. Hamlin in total control of the final stage here. He does get to 61 career wins, which has brought him into the top 10. He was tied with... Was he tied with Harvick? I think he was tied with Harvick, yeah. So I think he took the top 10 away from Harvick there. But he's two back from Kyle Busch for the most active wins currently. I would normally ask you, like, who do you think is going to end with more? But I think we'd both just say Hamlin, right?
Absolutely, yes.
But I think the real talk here was... It was a pretty cathartic win, not just for Hamlin, but I think for NASCAR. I think a lot of folks have started to sympathize with Hamlin because of his podcast and because of other things, and because he just can't win the championship. And then everything that happened in the offseason, I think we've all wanted to see him get back to victory lane. And it was cool to have him have his family there. He choked up a little bit with his mom there. Really cool moments. It is a family sport after all. We've talked about this being a family podcast. It's great. It was really, really great. Cathartic victory. Cool. Should we jump into O'Reilly?
Yeah, rewinding a day into O'Reilly series. Stage one winner, Justin Allgaier. Stage two winner, Justin Allgaier. And your race winner, dropping down a series, Kyle Larson. Early on in this thing, Sam Mayer has some power problems after he led 32 laps from the pole. Unfortunately, he has to go behind the wall, and that was the end of his day, when a ton of laps down.
Yeah, I think he was like 6 laps down. He ended up finishing the race, I think, 3 laps down. So it's just the same thing. It's hard to come back. There were more cautions in this race, but it was hard to come back.
Next up, Dean Thompson goes around in stage 2. Obviously, a lot of guys then come in. Or sorry, this is stage 3 already. Jumping ahead, mm-hmm. Not many notes here. Jesse Love has a speeding penalty and has to go to the rear. And they showed after the speeding penalty, his crew was like in each other's faces yelling, super heated. You don't see that all that often in NASCAR because it is a team sport down there on pit road. Love ended up coming all the way back in 28th out onto the track.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't really understand that part. I didn't have the audio on. Did they explain why they might have been heated each other? Was it because it was a slower stop and he was trying to compensate on the exit?
I have no idea. I was watching it at a bar, so I didn't have any sound on either. I just had it on my phone.
Yeah, I was really curious about that. I didn't really understand what was happening there. So, cool. What was the bar like?
It was good. It was a lot of college basketball on the TVs, and I'm definitely not going to ask for a television to be changed for me to watch an O'Reilly Series race. So this couple next to me, they got Michigan sweatshirts on, and they had been down for the Big Ten tournament, came back up back to Milwaukee, and the guy goes, "Oh, are you watching NASCAR or F1 over there?" And I go, "Well, it's NASCAR, but it's the minor league series." He goes, "Oh, yeah, that Busch Series, right?" And I go, "Well, it used to be the Busch Series, then it used to be Xfinity, now it's O'Reilly." And he goes, "That's, like, confusing." I'm like, "Yeah, it's still the Busch Grand National." He goes, "Cool, yeah, I know what that is."
Grand National Series. Unfortunately, it's
going to take some time to get equity in that O'Reilly's name, because a lot of people know it as Xfinity now because it was that for so long.
Yep.
It's going to be a real struggle, I think, for the CW and NASCAR to get the O'Reillys to stick, and a lot of people are going to be like, "You're watching O'Reilly Series? What is O'Reillys?" Like, you're better off just saying like Busch Series or like minor league NASCAR or something, AAA NASCAR. I don't know how to explain it sometimes.
O'Reilly used to, and I think in some ways still does, sponsor like the ARCA Series, and there used to be all these like local track series, and O'Reilly used to sponsor some of those. So when I actually hear it, I actually think it's lower than the Busch Xfinity Grand National Series. Like, I think it's a lower series when I hear the name. Naturally, my head goes, like, which is that, like, ARCA West? I'm just, like, trying to think about it that way. So, yeah, it's definitely going to take a long time to get that through people's mind. Jumping back to the race, Creed took the error away from Taylor Gray, and Taylor Gray ended up, getting wrecked. Granted, I'm gonna say like I love the CW guys. I think they did such a great job covering the series. But I think in this one they sided so much with Taylor Gray here and did not give Creed any benefit of the doubt here when Creed said like you only get a few blocks. I agreed with them. I thought Taylor Gray was just like trying to do too much. And in Vegas with these cars, momentum is king. It's not as hard to pass, but you also can't like side draft past a guy like you can in the Cup Series. So whenever you get some momentum, you have to use it, and then you have to try and slide job or do whatever you can going into the next corner to get the pass. And in this case, that's all Creed did was say, "You know what? My nose is here. If you're going to come across me, you're going to come across my nose. I'm not going to back out of this." And you know what? Taylor Gray needs to learn from that. I think Taylor Gray had some choice words. Is that right?
He did. So Austin Creed goes, "You only get a few blocks," over the radio, and then on Taylor Gray's radio, he just says, "Fucking loser." So, yeah, he was a bit heated about that one. Definitely was not a fan of that move by Sheldon Creed. But like you said, I don't think it was anything extraordinary or anything like that. It was, "I need to get past you. You're blocking me. Get the fuck out of my way. I'm going through you." So it's just hard racing.
No different than what we're going to see in Martinsville and Bristol in a couple weeks. If you run behind a guy for a couple laps, you give him a tap, you give him a double tap, next tap's going to send him to the wall. That's just how you have to race. All right, well, next up, we had Dean Thompson had a tire go down, caused a caution with just 9 to go, and this was the restart to end it all. Do you want to break down the restart and what happened?
You know, I didn't really catch the restart of this one. I was getting ready to go to a friend's birthday party, but the only thing that I have commentary, and then you can wrap it up, is another one of those tire goes down, but NASCAR keeps it green. Let's keep racing.
They sure did. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I broke it down the wrong way. Dean Thompson did have the tire go down. They did not throw the caution. They kept going. Yeah, I agreed. They kept it right. And Kyle Larson did end up winning. And then I saw a video a little bit later that Kyle Larson, he went to his high limit race, which is one of his, it's his series, to race on the dirt track, and he had to run over there. They had someone already in his car warming the car up and getting it ready. He basically like strapped up, got ready, got in his new suit, got ready, got in there, and got pushed immediately onto the track, and then they were going. I mean, he had no time between these two races, and then he won that race too, because that's just what Kyle Larson does. All right, any last comments on Vegas? Cool, let's jump into some other series. So F1, they were at the Chinese Grand Prix. Bit of a snooze fest. This time we had a sprint race first on Saturday. I say Saturday here, it was like Friday night technically, and then Saturday night for the other race. But sprint race was boring, cup race was boring, regular race was boring as well, Grand Prix. It just sucks. It's just battery protection, huge distances between Mercedes out front and then Ferrari behind them. Honestly, Red Bull doesn't look very good. Everyone else is just whatever. But it really is Mercedes and Ferrari. I don't know that they're ever going to finish out of this order unless there's wrecks. It's always going to be Mercedes out front and Ferrari behind. We'll see. Obviously, long season. You get to bring upgrade packages throughout the season. That can change things a little bit. But there's huge gaps here, man. Like, it's not even close right now. And the racing, again, is so artificial with this, like, battery saving. Like, it's like you use your push-to-pass kind of thing, and then you save. And then you push-to-pass, and you save. All in all, though, I'm a Hamilton guy, and Lewis Hamilton did get his first podium with Ferrari. I'm not going to say his monkey's off his back, but if Ferrari's going to run top four for the rest of the season, he's obviously going to have a pretty good year. I'd love to see him finish ahead of Leclerc in points, but we'll see. IndyCar, what happened at the Grand Prix of Arlington?
IndyCar Grand Prix at Arlington. So this was a great spectacle pre-race. They're racing around the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. What is it? Rangers Stadium? Texas Rangers? Yeah, Texas Rangers is the baseball team. They got Jerry Jones on the pre-race. He's talking about, you know, how involved he was in bringing this thing down there. So loved that they kind of build this as a primetime event. Mm-hmm. Marcus Ericsson on the pole, his first in his career. And then this thing gets going. And one of the things on the IndyCar road and street courses this year is they have two sets of tires, two sets of the alternates that you must use. So these are the red soft tires. And one of the drivers, Armstrong, has a tire going down on the first lap. So instead of coming in after just one lap, they said, hey, let's try to keep this thing out there for a second lap to get one use of those soft tires out of our inventory. And then he comes in, and it's kind of a weird strategy play at the beginning of the race. I don't remember where he finished, but it was just one of those things where, you know, you could just come in, then you're up shit creek. You got to take two more sets of those tires or another set of those tires, so might as well just keep it out and hope it doesn't go down.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I got to comment on, because I just had to look it up, because it's crazy that that's Ericsson's first pole. You know, he was in F1. He was an F1 racer until, I want to say, 2018 or so, and then he went to Ganassi and he won an Indy 500 in his like third year I think with Ganassi, and now he's at Andretti, I think. First pole, crazy. I didn't get to watch a lot of this race. I watched the highlights on YouTube afterwards, but you know, it seemed like a pretty good race.
It was. I'll give a couple of the highlights and then we can move on to some other IndyCar news. So Ericsson's leading the race, comes in, has an issue changing tires, and Alex Palou leapfrogs him on pit road, and I go, oh, here we go again, another Palou win. But Kyle Kirkwood, he is moving up on Palou every single lap. So at a certain point, this is a long circuit. It was 2.7 miles, and that's a lot of mileage to make up time, and especially if you have one or two good corners, you can really clip off like a third of a second, half of a second a lap, and that's what this guy was doing. So he ends up taking the lead with 15 to go, outbreaks Palou, and Palou just kind of backs out because he's not going to wreck himself. He knows if he takes second in this race, he's still right there in the championship. Yep. So it looked like Kirkwood was going to run away with this thing, and we end up getting a caution with 4 to go. So at that point, I'm like, okay, we should be able to clean this up, cycle around this huge track, and then they end up going green with a one-lap shootout. And unfortunately, some of the back markers, it was like literally the fourth and fifth last place cars, Dennis Hauger, Roman Grosjean, they get into each other before the restart line, before they're even past it. So you're at the point where you've got to stay single file. You can't even go, you know, full tilt yet. Mm-hmm. They really stack their cars on top of each other. They throw a full race, full course caution. Race is over. Kyle Crookerwood wins. Alex Plow, like I mentioned, on second on the podium. And Will Power rounds out that podium in third. So good run for Power finally in that 12 car. It's only been three races, but good to see him get his groove back a little bit with the new team Andretti.
For sure, yeah. And I'll say that move that Kyle Crookerwood made to get past Palou was a hell of a move. It was a really daring move. And to your point, I think Palou's like, you know what, I'm looking at the full season. You know, a win doesn't do much for me. I'm just going to keep winning these championships. So, cool. Everyone be really aggressive with him. Let's see what we can get out of the season. He does have the DNF already this year, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
You got some other IndyCar news. You want to keep breaking it down?
Yeah, Indy 500, a couple of drivers announced. Takuma Sato with RLL, he's done that with them. I don't know how many years in a row, but it seems like every year he's getting that call back because this guy is fire at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Connor Daly again back with Dreyer and Reinbold. He's got that funding locked in for that team. He always brings a sponsor. So cool to see Connor getting another crack on an oval at the Indy 500. And then this is probably the biggest news for you listeners out there in the state of Indiana. Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti to be the honorary Indy 500 pace car driver after that epic college football national championship season last year.
I gotta say, I think you misspoke. Indiana legend and one of the best coaches in college football right now. Insane what he was able to do there in the last 2 years, right? It's only been the
2 years, and he wins a national title, turns that program around. Well done.
Yeah. Let's hope Mendoza's little brother is half of what his older brother was, because he now plays for Georgia Tech. So,
okay, rad.
Yeah. Okay, well, up next, we're off in the IndyCar, but let's go through the NASCAR schedule this weekend. For Cup, we're at the Goodyear 400. We're all at Darlington. Goodyear 400 on Sunday at 3 Eastern. The O'Reilly Series is racing on Saturday at 5:30 Eastern. And guess what? Truck is back. It's been a couple weeks, but Truck is back for this Buckle Up South Carolina 200 at 7:30 p.m. on Friday night. It's going to be a lot of fun to see the trucks under the lights here. Honestly, all three of these series are going to be really good. It's a great track. I never knew why Darlington was always such a great racetrack from an abrasive tire wear perspective. And someone mentioned, you know what, they just repaved. Why are the tires dying off so quickly at Darlington? And someone mentioned it's in the sand hills of South Carolina, which means that the track, there's so much sand blowing through and blowing around that it basically sandblasts the track. So even when they repave, the track goes back to its kind of worn nature and helps wear tires almost immediately, which is really great. I just never knew that. But that's why Darlington's so good, and the drivers are a little afraid. I'll tell you what, the Cup guys have been saying that this is going to be an interesting test, not just of the Goodyears and the tires that they bring, but of this new package. The extra power at Darlington, that the corners are so weird. You got the one kind of like larger arced corner. It's like egg in this way. It's like an egg shape. You got a larger corner, and then you got a much smaller corner. And the way that you use the throttle to get by guys, can you run the wall, because that's what they've been doing recently? Can you jump low and see if you can get a nice straight exit out of a corner? With the extra power, you can do anything you want. And there will be a lot of tire spin, but with that tire spin comes wear and tear to those tires, and you will wear down your stuff a lot easier. So it's going to be fun. It might be a wreck fest, but, you know, Darlington, the last bunch of years in the playoff race, has always been a crazy wild card. In the next generation of car, it's been pretty good. I think this might bring it to epic levels. This could be a really, really good race for the Cup guys. I know it'll be great in O'Reilly and Truck, but I think it'd be really good in Cup, so... So previous winners that we have here, 2025, we had Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin, and 2024, we had Chase Briscoe and Keselowski. For what it's worth, Briscoe always seems to win the fall race, not this one. So we'll see kind of how he does. He definitely needs a nice rebound to the year for Baby G's sake. Baby G, any comments on Darlington?
Before we move on to the standings, I was in my head questioning what the nickname of this track was. I was like, is it like Lady in Black, Too Tough to Tame? And then I went on Wikipedia. I'm like, it's both? Like, I was like, my first one, the first one that popped in my head was the track that's Too Tough to Tame. And I was like, I've heard my dad say, like, The Lady in Black, though. I'm like, is that a different track? I'm like, oh, no, it's both. So that's kind of wild that I was trying to do some quick research while you were going through the strategy of the tires and the sandblasting of the track there. And I didn't see a whole lot out of it. So I'm not sure what the origins are of both nicknames. But the one that I'm most familiar with is Too Tough to Tame.
I think the Too Tough to Tame is just the moniker, the slogan, for what it's worth. Like, it's what you would see on the t-shirt. The Lady in Black is the name of the track because there would always be so many scuff marks on every bit of the wall. You paint the walls white to start the race. They weren't white to end the race. They would just get blackened throughout the race. And it throws a lot of marbles, right? You're racing this, like, tiny three-ish car lane, but it's really a 2.5 car lane at the very top of the track, and it just burns the tires. And so, like, just marbles and marbles and rubber is just getting thrown up and down the track. And so you just get this, like, really dark blackening of the whole track. And it's a light track to begin the race. So in both ways, that is why it's called The Lady in Black. All right. Well, let's jump into a big segment here. New Guy Reads the Standings. I know those of you that are new may wonder why that's called that. New Guy may join us at some point in the season, but he used to be one of the co-founders of our podcast here, and still is a beloved podcaster for the big one. But these days, it's Baby G Reads the Standings. Take it away, Baby G.
First place, still Tyler Reddick with 255 points. Second place, his teammate at 2311 Racing, Bubba Wallace. He is 61 behind. Third place, Ryan Blaney. Fourth place after that win, jumping up 6 spots. Denny Hamlin in fourth. Then we've got Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, William Byron in eighth. Chris Buescher staying steady at ninth. Ty Gibbs, nice day, up 5 positions in 10th. Then we've got, rounding out the top 16, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Preece, Michael McDowell, Carson Hocevar, and dropping a whopping 11 positions, SVG, Shane Van Gisbergen hanging on to that last chase spot.
Yeah, like you said, he just had a bad race. There were no stage points to gain for him, and just a bad finish, so that makes sense that he'd drop out. Notice a couple of these guys, Michael McDowell, Carson Hocevar, and Shane Van Gisbergen, and Daniel Suarez and AJ Allmendinger, who actually are tied for 16th, by the way. All 5 of those in a row were much better off once we were out of COTA, right? They were way higher in the points. Get a couple non-road courses, non-speedway races under our belts, and this is how things are going to shake out. They're going to kind of move down, and we'll start seeing some of these other guys move up. Ross Chastain currently outside in 20th with 94 points, so he's 23 out, so he's kind of knocking on that door. Kyle Busch really hasn't had that great of a season, but he's not that far out. He's what, 27 points out in 22nd. And then, you know, your boy Chase Briscoe, he ended up finishing well. He didn't get stage points in either stage, so that still hurts you, but he did end up finishing well, so he moves up 7 positions up to 26th. This is what we should expect. This is a really great race for him. I would not be surprised if he even ends up in the top 16 before the end of this race. So starting to shake out the way that we should probably see it for the rest of the season. But we'll see. Final comments that I kind of have. I made a comment to you about halfway through the race where I said, notice that the Chevys aren't near the front. And that ended up changing. The Hendrick guys showed up, and they were all there. I thought it was funny. It was like 30 laps later, it was like 3 of them were racing for the lead at once.
Without a doubt. I was like, oh, that was a bad call.
But you know what? It's just the Chevy guys. It's just the Hendrick guys for Chevy. The rest of the Chevys at that mile and a half did not look good. And I think there is, because it's a new nose. It's not a whole body package. They get the whole new body package next year, but it's a new nose to this car. And although the nose is not drastically different, it's enough that if you don't have enough time to test it, or you haven't had enough time to figure it out aero-wise yet, it is going to hurt you. I call that out at the beginning of the season before the season even began. And I think it is coming to roost. And you're going to see it at the mile and a half a lot. You'll see it at the 1 mile a little bit, but the mile and a half, 2 miles, you're going to see it a ton. And I do really think the Hendrick guys probably had some insider info from NASCAR. It just seems to be how it works. So they'll be okay. They're still not winning the races quite yet, but they'll eventually be okay. But the rest of the guys are gonna struggle. It's gonna be hard at those racetracks. Mark my words. I'm not wrong. Hardly ever. All right. With that, that brings us to the end of our episode. Do you want to take us out?
Absolutely. Again, thank you, fans, for listening to another episode of the Big One Podcast. Heading off to one of my favorite tracks on the schedule, Darlington. This may be on my bucket list for one of these upcoming seasons. It seems like one of these legacy NASCAR tracks that's probably worth checking out in person. So we'll see if that materializes or not. But as always, emails podcastbigone@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @podcastbigone. This has been Baby G.
That's been B-Boy. Thanks for listening. Have a great time at Darlington, guys. It's going to be an awesome